This is Boston Public Radio. I'm Callie Crossley. The stress of the holidays can cause even the most polite people to lose their cool, which is why misconduct Robin Abrams joins me now. She's here to answer your holiday etiquette questions, from the politics of gift giving to the politics of recognizing that not everyone celebrates Christmas. Robin, welcome back.
Hi there, Callie. If you're asking these questions now, it's probably too late.
it's always good to have some conversation about it right before the holiday.
Yes.
Because, you know this stuff is coming up. You wrote a column about it, really, that stemmed from someone writing to you saying, you know, gee, I'm in this situation once again where people are making assumptions. Tell us about that.
It came up in a recent chat, just the question of if you don't, you know, the eternal, you know, if somebody asks me what I'm doing for Christmas and I don't celebrate Christmas, do I say that? Do I just say what I'm doing without comment? And it really got me thinking, because I'm Jewish, so I don't celebrate Christmas as a religious holiday. But even before I converted for a long time, I was still just doing a movie and Chinese food because, you know, I was single. I didn't have kids. What else was I going to do? So it really got me thinking that there are so many different versions of Christmas. And everybody's celebrate, and there are some that are really put forward by the media, you know, the family Christmas, everybody gathered around the tree. But for most of us, that's not going to be how we celebrate Christmas for most of the Christmases in our lives, regardless of religion.
Right. So why is this? It seems to me that, you know, I am going to use the word multicultural. It seems to me that our general community is much more so, and that people talk about this stuff, not just at this time, but all during the year. So frankly, I'm still a little bit surprised that there is some navigation around this, because it would seem to be that there should be a little bit broader understanding about this.
I honestly think it's one of those things. The only time I have ever been like militantly, no, I'm a Jew, I don't celebrate Christmas, was the one year that I was spending Christmas entering data for my dissertation. And I got up on Christmas Day, made myself a coffee, and did 8 hours of data entry. And I just didn't want anybody feeling bad for me. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like the same way where, you know, as I hit a certain age and those questions about, oh, you know, are you going to have kids? You'll change your mind. All those dried up. Yeah. And now I'm a lot more like, no, I didn't have them because I didn't want them. It's okay.
Yeah.
So I think sometimes people just, if they're not doing the traditional thing, they simply want to like get it out there so they're not pitied.
Okay, I guess I'm thinking from the other side of the of people making the assumption, because that's what I mean. That at this day and age, it's hard for me to understand that people still make assumption that everybody would celebrate Christmas. Do you see what I'm saying?
Oh,
I mean,
yeah.
Just because I do doesn't mean I don't make the assumption that everybody does.
Yeah, and neither do I, and I never have. And I've never even assumed that if people are Christian, they necessarily have anything going on. The fact that that assumption is still out there really does surprise me. And I think it leads to, and this is why I got very interested in the whole notion of the different kinds of Christmases. And I've got a post up on my blog, which is at boston.com/misconduct, about, you know, Christmas is a holiday. Over 90% of Americans celebrate in some form or another, but there's so many different kinds. There's religious Christmas, which is specifically Christian, about the birth of the baby Jesus. There's spiritual Christmas, which is just a little bit more vague and about charity and all of that. There's the Yuletide merriment, and these are the very tasteful people in my neighborhood, which is Cambridge. You know, the Portlandia crowd that like to have the wassail and the white lights and the pine boughs. And there's decadent consumer Christmas, and there's all these different versions. And nobody, and there's big family Christmas, which is all about kids and traditions. And nobody's going to have all those different Christmases in any one year. And those of us, whoever isn't, and this was sort of like one of my big ahas a couple of years ago, was there are so many people who, for all intents and purposes, are what I call, quote unquote, Jews on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
That, you know, I don't have a big family, or I do, but I can't afford to travel to see them, or I have to work, or whatever. People who, I think there are more people who are getting sliced out of the narrative than those who are actually in it.
Which seems, you know, That to me seems very sad. We're at 877-301-8978.
But I'm bringing you down, Callie. Yeah, well, I think, job.
No, I just think it's just weird
the
now that people don't get this.
The Etiquette columnist who made Callie sad on Christmas.
877-301-8970. 877-301-8970. You can send us a tweet at Boss Public Radio or write to our Facebook page. I'm here with Robin Abrams, the woman behind the Boston Globe's advice column, Misconduct. And we're talking about navigating Christmas if you don't celebrate it, whether you're Christian or not, or humanist. I had Greg Epstein here, who's a humanist.
Yeah.
And obviously, they're not celebrating the holiday.
Well, with a name like Epstein, I wouldn't be on.
So there are many ways to celebrate it, as Robin has outlined in her column, and understanding that not all of these ways have to do with the religion. It has to do more with marking the day and the holiday.
And frankly, as somebody who is religious, you know, I'm Christmas, fine, whatever. You know, I'm very open to other people's religions, but I'm also really clear on what mine is. And it wasn't until this year that I finally gotten totally okay with the fact that I love Christmas television. Mm.
Wonderful Life and all that stuff.
Actually, that one I hate. But there's something about Jimmy Stewart that always kind of makes my skin crawl, which I know is like horrible and I'm a terrible American.
I'm going to stick Ty Burr on you, but go ahead.
Charlie Brown.
Yeah.
Charlie Brown.
Right. How the
Peanuts,
Grinch.
Peanuts. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah, the Grinch. Mm-hmm. Rudolph. There's so many wonderful
Christmas
narratives,
Carol.
And yes, mm-hmm. exactly, mm-hmm. and music out there, and that's everybody's American. You know, that's everybody's American heritage.
And so you're too highbrow to have migrated over to Lifetime and Hallmark to watch all of those Christmas music.
Well, no, but
movies. I watch those too.
No, I'm actually the one that I'm promoting this year is the Office Christmas Special, which is just absolutely hilarious. They tackle the whole blackface controversy with the Schwarze Piet in German Christmas traditions. It's hilarious.
All right. So the other big issue that comes up a lot is that you're a guest and mm-hmm. you're visiting someone else's home and they have certain kinds of traditions. And how do you fit in or accept or participate without compromising where you are in your mm-hmm. own space?
Here's an interesting thing. I went to the Jewish Museum once in New York, and there was all this interesting stuff and, you know, artifacts from Jewish homes in Rome and all of this during the Empire. And because so many people would put friezes and mosaics of Roman and Greek gods and goddesses in their homes, the rabbis had to come up with a ruling, which is that you can have stuff in your house, but you can't worship it. Mm. So it's like, yeah, you can... I mean, celebrate. You know, eating a cookie is not going to, you know, magically convert you. There are no magic, like, conversion cookies. There are no, you know, eat the food, celebrate. It's just wildly offensive for me to sing at all, regardless of the content of the carol.
Okay.
So I just, you know, I stay away from all of them.
I was just at a party last night, which was a singing carol party.
Oh, yeah.
So you do have to decide whether you want to go with that or not. But
Just stick to, like, you know, whenever they're like the really overtly, you know, it is the night. I just, instead of saying our, I say your. Mm. It is the night of your Savior's birth.
Mm-hmm.
That works.
Mm-hmm. Or you don't have to sing. I don't think people
it's
sing.
It's really just better if I don't sing. Let's just leave it at that.
Now, do you get a lot of questions from people who are, you know, really having an issue with that? Because now that we have so many different scenarios about which you mm-hmm. might be involved in, it's not just mm-hmm. your family anymore. It may be family and friends. It may be family, friends, some people you work mm-hmm. with. I mean, there's any combination of stuff.
I honestly don't think that Christmas problems tend to come up between Christians and non-Christians. Christmas problems tend to come up between spenders and savers, mm. between people who are battling an addiction and people who are, woohoo, it's the holidays, have one more for the road, mm. between people who are battling depression or heavy work schedules or, I mean, you know, all of my teacher friends are doing mass, you know, just got out of grading and all of this, people who work retail and people for whom this is a vacation time. Those are really where the Christmas, quote unquote, battles, conflicts, whatever, come up. Not between, you know, how dare you invite me to your Christmas party. That doesn't really happen.
So what we're talking about really
the other things are just, as I said, the diversity of Christmas itself is so huge that within it, there's plenty of room for argument.
So you're really talking about issues that are just every day, and then now it's just a little bit more hyped around this time.
Christmas is like every other time of the year, only more so. Mm. That everything we deal with food, with combining work and family, with having so many extended families, and the difficult, you know, time and space budget to cope with that, with disabilities, illnesses, addictions, you know, different personality types, it all just really gets heightened during the Christmas season, which is great for me. I mean, it's great for the advice business.
Yeah, I bet.
If it weren't for Christmas and weddings, I'd be out of business.
We're at 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. I'm here with Robin Abrams, the woman behind the Boston Globe's advice column, Misconduct. And we're talking about the possibly sticky etiquette situations that come up if you don't celebrate Christmas and you're around people who do. If you are at someone's home and they really want you to engage in their tradition, but it makes you uncomfortable, to any other issue that may be one that comes up at this time for you that you'd like to ask Robin about. 877-301-8970, 877-301-8970. You can tweet us at Boss Public Radio or write to our Facebook page, facebook.com/Boston Public Radio.
I've never had anybody feel like they were being compelled to worship Jesus on Christmas. What I do hear from a lot is people who feel compelled to participate in a Yankee swap.
Oh, yeah.
Man, they hate
yeah.
those things.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think if you weren't exposed to the Yankee swap as a child, you will never understand it. I grew up in Kansas, and I still don't get the rules.
I grew up in Memphis. I didn't know what this was
until I got here. I'm always the one who's, like, sitting there, like, okay, now what do I do again?
Exactly.
Which is
why
great,
are you taking my thing?
Because, like, eventually nobody invites you anymore, and then you don't have to deal with it. I think the Puritans invented it to keep Christmas from becoming too much fun.
Here's something that I hear that has nothing to do with some of these more highbrow and contemplative issues that you've raised in your column, but more down to the ground where, for example, people who've had a Christmas party for a number of years mm-hmm. and feel now trapped that have to invite the same people. They mm-hmm. would like to boot some people off the list. And mm-hmm. often what they do is just stop having it. So then mm-hmm. they hope if they don't have it for 2 or 3 years, they can start again.
Yeah.
With a new list,
yeah.
you know?
And actually, I generally would recommend that. I mean, in the case, there was a blog question, and I mean, this person had thrown, like, the block party for so long that I think people weren't even thinking that, like, an actual human, it was like it had become an institution, and nobody was inviting them anywhere, and they had actually become somewhat bitter.
Yeah, it will make you bitter. That's a lot of work.
Yeah, but, you know, it's a misconduct principle. It's like, do something before you get all bitter about things. But the general advice from my readers on that one, and I agreed with it, is take a year. You know, just kill it for a year, don't do it, and then reboot. But, you know, I don't think people would be necessarily insulted. It's odd
you
when...
You don't?
I don't. It's odd when... Well, no, I mean, look, if there's a party that I've just been sort of going to, and I don't really... You know, I wouldn't care if somebody took a year off, rebooted it, and made it, like, smaller.
Well, what if you're not in the reboot? See, that's where it gets sticky.
Honestly, I don't necessarily. If I myself had never bothered to reach out to that person, I really don't think I'd care. Because in that case, it would just be like, oh, you know, it was great that Callie used to throw those big parties, you know, that giant, you know, luau every June, but, you know, I never asked her out for coffee or anything, and now she's doing something different. And, you know, it's like, well, now the happy luau is out of my life. No big.
I think you're mature, if I may say.
You also seem to think I'm highbrow, which I'm really disturbed by.
I just think it's really awkward. And, you know, I have been utterly amazed. I used to always say to friends that those letters that people wrote to Ann Landers I thought were fake until I realized how crazy people are.
Yeah.
So now I know. So people will say anything to you. So I it wouldn't be past, in my experience, someone to come up to you and say, I know you had that party again, and how come I wasn't invited? And there you are.
In which case, if you've done, especially if you've done the year off in a reboot, then, you know, you're just sort of like, hey, you know, we missed having you, but, you know, we've just decided to, like, kind of
take it with
a different group of people. And, you know, why don't we get coffee next week? Give me a call.
Yeah, okay.
Put it back on them. So it's like, look, did you just miss out on my luau, or do you actually want to have a relationship with me?
That's a good point.
You know, and it's like, if you were just after the free pig, man, you know,
leave me alone. Yeah, exactly. Michael from Warwick, go ahead. You're on Boston Public Radio 89.7, and I'm here with Robin Abrams.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Fine.
It's kind of a silly thing, but I used to have a boss that didn't celebrate any of the religious holidays at all.
Mm-hmm.
And I always felt bad around the holidays, when I would leave work, like on Christmas Eve, I would make a point to go into her office, mm-hmm. and I wouldn't say Merry Christmas to her because I knew she didn't celebrate it, uh-huh. but I felt the need to at least convey to her that, you know, I hope she enjoys the season or
yeah.
enjoys the days off or something mm-hmm. like that. Because it was always, I always felt bad that she didn't, and not that she didn't celebrate it, that was fine with me, but I mm-hmm. felt bad that she wasn't getting any acknowledgement because of the fact that she didn't celebrate it.
Yeah.
So, no happy, well wishes there.
Happy non-Christmas.
Yeah, right, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I think you're... letting people know it's a federal holiday, mm-hmm. and everybody's business schedule gets changed up. I mean, unless you're, you know, living in a separatist Amish community or Orthodox, you know, enclave somewhere, it's going to change things up. So, you know, happy holiday is always, always good.
Yeah, well, she never even, I couldn't even say that to her.
Wow.
Because she was extremely religious. You really.
Was she a Jehovah's Witness?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's right.
So it always made it difficult, but I always, in my heart, that I had to say something to her because I liked her as a person.
Yeah.
She was a lovely woman. I just felt that, you know, I had to acknowledge something to
yes.
her just to show her that I you know I appreciated her and, you know, I hope she enjoys this
well,
time of the
you know,
year.
Well, you know, one very nice thing about Christmas is that it does come within a week of New Year's. Mm. So
right.
that in a business context, and I think that... particularly, you know, you're talking about the whole multi-culti thing
yeah.
and all of that. It is year-end, and therefore it's the time for year-end tipping, you know, letters of appreciation to teachers, co-workers, bosses. It's a time also for sort of clearing the books and expressing appreciation in a way that can be completely business-like and secular.
Right.
And
right.
That's just go to Happy New Year.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And that's always a thing to sort of keep in mind and just, you know, make it a sort of year end. It's like, hey, you know, we're wrapping up the year. It's just been, you know, I want to say I really appreciate having a boss like you.
Yeah,
well,
there
when I
go.
Had a staff and stuff, I would buy everybody on the staff some sort of Christmas gift. And I had one girl who was a Jehovah's Witness.
Mm-hmm.
So I would make the gift that I bought generic. It wouldn't signal Christmas
yeah.
or anything like that. It was just a generic gift that mm-hmm. I thought she would enjoy, like a... you know, a candle or something
yeah.
like that. Because I just, it's awkward to be around somebody who doesn't celebrate it and they're watching everybody else get in the spirit or whatever. I just felt bad for these people. So I kind of go out of my way to make sure that they're included without offending them.
Yeah. Well, that's nice. What I would say, though, is if you're in the kind of religious minority who is that stringent, then you've chosen that path, and you don't necessarily expect it to be easy.
Right.
I mean, which doesn't mean like everybody should give them a hard time or something.
Right.
I'm not saying that.
Nor
but
are they expecting a gift either. So they're cool with it. You
exactly.
Know?
You
right.
know.
So it's mm-hmm. all of that. Thank
yeah.
you for the call, Michael.
Thank you.
Thanks. Have a good one.
And having the no holidays is much trickier than the different holidays.
Yeah,
though.
I think you're right. But I think the year-end thing is a good way to go.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
And we absolutely cannot let you go without the perennial, someone got me a gift and I didn't get them one. Now what?
You're good. You're good.
Okay.
You know, you really are. If someone gives you a gift, you call them up after the new year and take them to lunch.
Okay.
I mean, nobody has anything going on in January anyway. January is a real bummer of a month. So, you know, do something like that. But life does not have to be exactly quid pro quo either. I mean, haven't you ever given a gift just for the joy of giving?
Oh, I do it. You know,
yeah.
I have certainly have done
yeah.
it. But I'm suggesting you're way more mature than many other people. But
that's
what I'm saying.
Well.
It can be so awkward because it's particularly with somebody you're not expecting. You're sort of caught
mm-hmm.
blindsided. And it might be that you would have pulled together some kind of token, but you didn't. But,
yes.
You know. So anyway, I have to put that out there
because
I know.
You can always just have it either not at the moment or, you know, you simply, you know, you just thank them.
Okay.
And if they don't get you a gift next year, then you know that they expected it to be a quid pro quo.
Gotcha.
Or, like I said, take them to lunch after the holidays.
Well, actually, they won't, Robin, because I will have rebooted and kicked them off the list.
All righty. It's a brand new 2013 and it doesn't include you, baby.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
I've been talking with Robin Abrams, the woman behind the Boston Globe's advice column, Misconduct. And she has given us the best holiday advice that any woman can offer. Take it and run with it. You can find her holiday advice on our website after the show. And you can find us at wgbhnews.org/ BPR. It's that time of year for everyone to roll out their best of 2012 lists. Food writer Corby Kummer joins us in Studio 3 with his top cookbook titles of the year. I'm Callie Crossley. You're listening to 89.7 WGBH.